The following podcast contains true stories of sex, kink, or gender. That means it's not safe for work. So thanks for being a consenting adult.
I am enormous. Get used to it. Everyone tells me I'm too much. Maybe it's just you're not enough for me. Can't you see? I'm the kind of woman I'm supposed to be.
Hi there, and welcome to the Bawdy Storytelling Podcast. I'm sexual folklorist Dixie De La Tour, and this week we have a story of Christmas misadventure from the patron saint of poor impulse control, Dixie De La Tour. Hey, wait, that's me. How's your week going? It's Christmas week, and I think you will find out from this episode that Christmas is pretty important to me. I don't have plans to exchange gifts with my partner. We don't typically do that, but Christmas still gets me really excited. I've kind of gotten a gift this week that I've known about for a while, and it's kind of embarrassing to admit, but I'm going to tell you. I am obsessed with the book The Stand by Stephen King. Stephen King's characters, it's like a masterclass. He creates characters you fall in love with. As a storyteller, I listen to the Audible book on the stand over and over. It's so soothing. I like these people so much. I'm so sad when they die. I'm so happy when they survive. And we're surviving a pandemic, and Stephen King insists that Captain Trips in the stand is not COVID. I mean, he couldn't have known, but at the same time, there's a lot of similarities. So it's very timely to be experiencing it right now. CBS just started a brand new miniseries. It's 9 episodes long. And the other night, I subscribed to CBS just so I could watch the first episode of The Stand and dissect it, because I know this book backwards and forwards. In fact, the Audible book that I listen to is the uncut version, and it's about 45 hours long. That way I get to spend time with characters I love over and over again. By the way, I'm looking for the uncut or unabridged version of The Stand, the book, the physical book, but cannot find it anywhere. Unless, of course, I want to pay like $140 because it's collectible now. But anyway, I am enjoying the miniseries. It's so fascinating to me how they chose the cold open to enter the story. What aspect of the characters? I've seen the other miniseries from many years ago, multiple times. So it's like getting to experience those characters all over again. And I'm really enjoying that. Another thing was, I got a phone call from my bestie, Little P, this morning. And we have a routine where we try and spend every New Year's going to a Botanica. A Botanica is a shop where you can, well, it's pagan, it's Wiccan, it's, I'm sure some of you will correct me on that, but a Botanica is a shop where you can go in and you can get candles for the things that you want to focus on. I like to do it every new year so that I can bring new things into my life. I can ditch things that I want to get rid of. You find a qualified shop and you have them dress the candles for you. I've been doing a little research on this recently and I've learned even more about how they dress the candles. I am not woo, honestly, but I love this ritual ever since I discovered it at a little neighborhood shop on Church Street in San Francisco. This elderly lady who seemed to know everything explained to me while she created my candles, and it just became this enlightening experience that makes me feel uplifted. So I do it every New Year. Lil P called to say she'd found a new shop. It's way out. It's like 30 or 40 miles away from me, but they are open despite COVID. And I just got off the phone with them and I'm going to go have candles dressed next week. And I'm really, really excited about that. I'm going to think really hard about what I want to bring in the new year. And on next week's episode, I'll probably tell you about the process of dressing my candles. If you follow me on Instagram, I will post pictures of the candles. I don't know why it excites me so much, but it makes me feel so much possibility. And in a year that needs possibility, this has been the one more than any other. I know it's not going to be fixed as soon as we round 2021, but still, doesn't it feel like things are lighter? Don't you feel like hope is starting to come up? Things feel possible. People are starting to get the vaccine now. Frontline workers, I know it's going to be a long time for us, but it started and there is a vaccine, and that makes me feel so hopeful. And you know that I like to spend time being grateful. I want to give you a great idea for a gift if you're broke, because I've had a few gifts lately that just make me feel so rich, and they didn't cost the person who gave them to me anything. So if you're sitting there going, shit, I feel terrible, I didn't get so-and-so a gift, here's an idea. My friend Rebecca signed up for Masterclass. It's buy one, get one free right now. She gave me a free year of Masterclass. Do you know how much I love Aaron Sorkin's screenwriting? I get to sit there and listen to him talk about it. I get to watch RuPaul on authenticity. And it didn't cost Rebecca anything to give it to me. My friend Ian recently signed up for HBO Max. And he put me on the account. Don't tell anybody, you guys. So I now have HBO Max. It didn't cost him anything to add me. But now I can watch stuff that I can't afford, because when everything fell apart this year, I canceled all my subscriptions. I really tightened my belt. And just these gifts, which are so thoughtful, just make me feel like I'm so lucky to have these people in my life. I just finished binge watching The Flight Attendant, and it was excellent. If you're looking for a gift, put somebody on your streaming channel. You know, put their name on your Hulu or whatever. I'm not endorsing that, by the way, if you're listening and you're the authorities. But it made me feel so great that people realized that we can help each other in these little ways. Do I sound like I feel pretty good about life right now? Today, as of right now, I'm feeling great. Santa's coming later on this week, and that makes me very, very happy. You deserve an escape. And is there any better way to escape than a story? Well, you know me, I say nope. And that's why I love Dipsy. It's an audio app full of short, sexy stories designed to turn you on. Dipsy's stories can immerse you in fantasy and transport you to faraway places with mysterious lovers. You can experience so many new characters and scenes because they have a library of over 300 stories to choose from. And just because you're all grown up doesn't mean you've outgrown bedtime stories. Whether you want a story to turn you on or to wind you down for better sleep, Dipsy helps you get in touch with yourself for some extra sweet dreams. Check out Dipsy's sleep sessions to help you build a better bedtime habit, and they also have wellness sessions to reinvigorate your self-pleasure practice. And for listeners of the Bawdy Storytelling Podcast, Dipsy is offering a 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/DIXIE. They release new stories every week, so there's always more to explore, no matter who you're into or what turns you on. So download the app right now and tell them Dixie sent you. Get a 30-day free trial when you go to dipseastories.com/Dixie. I'm about to do something that makes me very uncomfortable. I don't know if you remember this, but earlier this year, I was one of the storytellers on this podcast. I didn't even list myself as one of the storytellers, and I list every storyteller on the podcast. I said, and a special guest, and put one of my stories on, because Bawdy Storytelling started with my stories way back when. And then I got into the things that I do associated with the show, especially event production, etc. And it's really rare when I tell stories anymore. So they feel imperfect. They feel like I'm focused on coaching other people. They feel like I'm... Anyway, I want to tell you about this week's storyteller. Dixie De La Torre is a sexual folklorist, professional storyteller, podcaster, teacher, storytelling coach, community builder, and most of all, a facilitator. She is also the founder, curator, and host of the award-winning storytelling series, Body Storytelling, which has been lauded for its transformational, relatable, empowering performances. She's been a featured storyteller for the National Storytelling Conference, and in addition to public speaking and story coaching for her own Body series, she also coaches for events such as TEDx, Women in Technology, and offers Storytelling for Self-Discovery, her unique personal and professional coaching system. Dixie has been sainted by the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, my saint name is Saint Kiss and Make You Tell, for her work to reduce stigma and eliminate shame. Because ultimately, this story-loving Southerner is passionate about storytelling's ability to keep people safe, reduce social anxiety, and connect us with each other. This storyteller is me, Dixie De La Torre. So I used to have this Christmas tradition. My family is on the East Coast in the Blue Ridge Mountains, and I wasn't going to travel during Christmas, and I wasn't that close to my family anyway. So I used to be the person who would pet sit or house sit for people while they traveled for the holidays. This served several purposes. My friends thought I was this benevolent goddess because I was always willing to do it for free, but in reality, I would have my Christmas tradition, which is fucking a stranger off the internet in your house, because I ain't gonna fuck him in my house because then he knows where I live. But I wouldn't tell the person I was pet sitting for, usually. I'm going to hell too. I did this every year. I had this routine that I was doing it. And this one year, I'm house sitting for this woman, Sherry. She's got this cute little craftsman cottage in Oakland. It's just adorable. And I park in front of the house. I come in. She's giving me the keys. She's giving me the tour. There's this Barca lounger in front of this wood stove. This is big brown leather sofa and a giant TV. You know, I live in a tiny studio, so this is like fancy for me. I'm looking around and she's showing me the bedroom. Sheets are all nice and clean. And as I'm in the bedroom, I look out the window and I can see that there's a lower level and there's a garden out there. And there's a tree and there's a little old man trimming a rose bush. I'm like, holy shit, you're fancy. Like, you've got like gardener who comes in, and I don't say it, I just think it, you know. She gives me the keys, she heads off to the other coast, and I start planning my annual Christmas fuck-off. The way that always works is that I am going to place an ad probably the morning of Christmas Eve. I am going to get a bunch of responses. I'm going to choose three different people, and then I'm gonna meet them and see if I feel like fucking them on Christmas. And I've done this for years. I have this, you know, total routine. This particular year, I go to Alameda and I meet these two guys who look really good and hot in their pictures. And when they show up, they look like Beavis and Butthead if they were 15 years old. And they're like nudging each other like, ha, oh, we're gonna fuck the redhead, ha. Oh, and I'm like, no, you're not, guys, you lose. I am leaving. And I head into San Francisco for my second date of the day, of the three. And I get there. I get to where I'm going to meet him in San Francisco. I text him and I say, hey, I've arrived. Nothing. He doesn't respond. Text him again. Nothing. And I'm like, well, time's slipping by. I wait for a minute. I call the guy who's going to be the third date on Christmas Eve. And I say, hey, just want to make sure we're still on for later on today. And he's like, yeah, I'm already in a bar in Oakland waiting for you. I'll be here. So finally, I just call the second guy, whose name is Ned. And I'm really surprised where after the texting, he picks up the phone. And he says, yeah, I'm sorry, I just can't meet you. And I'm like, why? And he goes, because I'm going to want to do really improper things to you, and I don't think it's fair that I have these thoughts about you. And I'm like, women have Craigslist casual encounters. That's actually... the objective. And he goes, but I've been thinking about what I want to do to you, and I have these fantasies. I'm like, we haven't talked about these fantasies. Why don't you tell me what they are? He goes, I can't, because then I'm going to want to do them to you. And he hangs up abruptly. And I'm like, well, I didn't fuck a nut job, so that was cool. So I get in the car, and I drive to Oakland. I get to the third date, the third wise men of Christmas Eve. He's sitting at this bar in this, you know, this little dive bar on Piedmont Avenue in Oakland. He's got blonde curly hair. He's 10 years younger than me. He's got big green eyes, and his eyes light up when I walk in. He's very excited about the way I look. Of course, I'm rocking cleavage like that, so that kind of helped. And I sit down next to him, and he goes, hey, how are you? And I'm like, I have had a day. And he goes, tell me about your day. He orders me a drink. We sit there and we have drinks. And I tell him about my Christmas tradition, where I get together with people, decide who I'm going to fuck. And he goes, but you're here on Christmas night. And I'm like, I put you last because I was pretty sure you were going to be the winner. And he's like, well, I was really nervous about doing this because I don't usually fuck people off the internet. So I showed up like 2 hours early. I'm like, yeah, I noticed you were here when I called earlier. Bartender announces Christmas Eve, we're closing down. And I'm like, so what do you think? He's like, I think yes. And when he goes to stand up off his bar stool, he goes, oh shit. I was drinking those whole 2 hours before you showed up. My dick ain't gonna work. And I'm like, well, that's disappointing because I was pretty excited about you when I walked in the bar. And he goes, you wouldn't happen to have any Viagra or Cialis, would you? And I'm like, as a matter of fact, I do. We get in a Lyft, we go to my house, I give him a pill, the fucking Lyft driver watches him pop a Cialis, and then he's looking at me like, this is gonna be a good night, you know? We go to this cute little craftsman cottage in Oakland, and I've got the run of the place, nobody's there. And we walk in, I'm like, maybe we should put some music on. We try and figure out the stereo, but she hadn't shown me how to use the stereo. And I'm like, well, it just kind of feels like that's going to be weird just fucking for hours because you just took Cialis, so it is going to be for hours, so we should put something on. So I turn on the TV, and A Christmas Story is playing. And it's on TBS, so it's 24 hours of A Christmas Story. So by now, the Cialis has kicked in, and we're starting to get down to it. And it's just kind of like, fucking a bed, that's kind of boring. So we start fucking everywhere else we can think of. We fuck on that big brown leather couch in front of the TV movie playing A Christmas Story. We fuck in front of the fire. He's made a fireplace. We fuck in the bark lounger. We fuck on top of the tile counter in the kitchen while my knees are on the bar stool trying not to slide off. Like, we are fucking all over the house. We're in the kitchen on top of the tile counter when we hear, you're gonna put your eye out, kid. And we both just laugh so fucking hard. And I'm like, okay, I have an idea. How about this? Okay, here's what we're gonna do. Every single time they say you're gonna put your eye out, kid, we have to come at the same time. That's the game. And he's like, really? And I'm like, okay, starting after that one. We've seen this movie so many times. We know when it's going to come pretty much. So we're fucking in the Barker lounger in front of the fire, and we can tell that line is about to come up. So I'm just furiously rubbing my clit. He's fucking like crazy. We're both trying to get to that. Like, I'm going to come. You're going to put your eye out, kid. Oh! And now he's on Cialis. We're going to fuck for hours. So we just start making sure that, you know, when we know it's coming up again, the movie starts over. We make sure that we are somewhere where we can hear it so that we can both come at the same time whenever he says this. And after like 9 hours of fucking all over this house, eventually he goes, I don't have any fluids left in my body anymore. It's now 8 or 9 a.m. on Christmas Day. And he says, I think I'm going to leave, but this was a really memorable Christmas. And I say, thanks. I order a pizza. I lay on the brown leather couch we fucked all over. I'm laying there in just my underwear and a fucking baseball jersey, eating pizza, just going, that was a fucking fun adventure. And again, you know,
You Put Your Eye Out Kid comes on, and now it's kind of racy. Now I've got all these positive associations with it. So I lounge around for a little while, and then I realize that the people who are staying, that whose house I'm staying in, are coming back Christmas night. So I've done this plenty of times. I have a routine. I throw the sheets in the washer. I clean everything up really well. I load the dishwasher. I make sure the cats have all their food. And I go through and I find every used condom in the house. And I stuff it way down in the garbage can and take the garbage outside. And I look around. There's no evidence. Yeah, I'm going to get away with this. I take my suitcase. I head home like 2 hours before they're supposed to get back because I'm not that good a liar face to face. So I want to make sure I've left, you know, I've cleared out. I get home. I settle back in. And the phone rings 2 hours later. And I see that it's Sherry, whose house I've just stayed at. And I'm like, oh, that's not a good sign. And I pick up the phone and I go, hey, Sherry, how are you? How was your trip? How was your flight? And she goes, it was great. Yeah, we got back a little while ago. Can I, so I have a question for you. Did you have any friends over while you were staying here at the house? And I'm like, fuck. I'm like, I had a friend came in from out of town. I know them really well. They just happened to come out of town, known them for years. So yeah, they came over to your house and we just hung out. This person I've known for years, we just hung out for a little while. Yeah. And I said, why? I'm trying to figure out what I could have possibly left to indict myself. And she says, well, we got on our front porch. And we still had our suitcases on the front stoop, putting our keys in the front door, and the little old man who lives downstairs on the Craftsman Cottage came to our front door, and he went, are y'all just getting in? And they're like, yeah, we just got back from the East Coast. He goes, he's looking at the suitcases, did you guys have a house sitter or a pet sitter while you were gone? And she goes, yeah. And he goes, well, let me tell you about your pet sitter. He pushes past her into her house and he goes, your pet sitter fucked right there and right there and right there and right there. And Sherry said, I should have told you the floors are so thin. You take a breath upstairs, they can hear everything. She never asked me to house sit for her again. But I can tell you, whenever I see a Christmas story, I get this special little tingle. That's my story.
I've got some presents for Santa, and he's got a big one. Well, outside it snows. I take off all my clothes and wait for Santa underneath my tree. He squeezes into my hot chimney where it's oh so warm and tight. On the roof I hear his reindeer. I'm so very glad he came here. It's only once a year, but what a night. Santa Claus takes a pause from his long night of delivering. His big North Pole can sure get cold, his jolly butts all shivering. I offer Santa my cookies. He loves to put them into his mouth. His long beard tickles, he gives me the giggles. He finishes his snack and then flies south. Claus takes a pause from his long night of delivering. His big North Pole can sure get cold, his jolly butts all shivering. Ooh, Santa, I love my present. What else is in that big bag of yours? Santa and I share a ciggy. Then I help him back into his red suit. I know he has to go, he just says ho, ho, ho. I can't help it, he
Claus takes a pause from his long night of delivering. His big North Pole can sure get cold. His jolly butts all shivering. I've got some presents for Santa, and he's got a big one for me. Outside it snows, I take off all my clothes and wait for Santa. I take off all my clothes, I'm waiting for Santa underneath my tree. Merry Christmas.
That was I've Got Some Presents for Santa by Sarah Taylor and Bill Mumm. The next Bawdy Storytelling live stream will be on Saturday, January 9th, 2021. And do you want to know how to get some happiness in 2020 while you can? Buy your tickets now. The theme is Dirty Minds, and it's going to be a spectacular show. We are getting such great reviews for the live streams. These opportunities to come together, to listen to stories, and to feel less alone right now. Tickets are in the show notes. They're also on our website, bawdystorytelling.com. I can't wait to see you there. Well, if I was gonna get a gift, it would be that you become a member of my Patreon. Not just because it's been the worst year in the history of ever, and Patreon is how we're getting through right now, but because this is where you get all the bonus content for Bawdy Storytelling. On the podcast, you get a story every week. But I have a lot more than just audio for stories. And this is a new way for us to connect, despite the pandemic. So I want to tell you about what's coming up for my Patreon supporters. Last week, we did Spinner, which was a dating and connection game created by Eleanor O'Brien of Dance Naked Productions. It was really fun. We did an erotic altar, people wrote poetry, and it was a dating and connection game that allowed people to connect. The people who attended this first one really loved it and asked us to do it again. So we'll be doing it again in January. Remember Bawdy Trivia? That one was a big hit too. And Michael Noel is going to be hosting another Bawdy Trivia for us. You already know that you get free live stream tickets. You know that you get the live stream replay, which only lives on Patreon. But here you go. I've been telling you for a little while that I'm planning on teaching monthly storytelling workshops where we get to geek out on story together. I'm going to have office hours where we can do question and answer. You can ask your general questions on how to tell stories well. And people have been asking for this for a very long time. I am going to be doing the first Bawdy open mic, and it's going to be for my Patreon supporters. If it works, we might do it for the general public. But right now, if you support us on Patreon, you will get the information about the Bawdy open mic. That will be happening after the new year hits. Go to patreon.com/Bawdy. Ideally, support us at the $10 a month or up level, and you'll be getting all that. You'll be getting storytelling workshops. You'll be getting office hours with me. You'll be getting Bawdy trivia. You'll be getting dating and connection Bawdy. And you can get up and tell a story, no pressure, at a Bawdy open mic. Remember, patreon.com/Bawdy. I really, really want you to join us, please. I'd love for you to become a member. Thanks in advance for your support. Well, that's our time for this week. But before we go, I want to say thank you to the people who make this podcast possible. Thank you to podcast producer Marty Garcia. Thank you to pre-show video creator Donal Mooney, to sound engineer David Grossoff, to video archivist Joe Moore, and thank you to story coach Moza Maxwell-Smith, who's been helping me a lot since COVID hit, and I really, really appreciate her help. This has been episode 156 of the Bawdy Storytelling Podcast. I hope you have a sextacular holiday, and I'll talk to you next week.